Hebrews 12 from verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as father, addresses his son? He says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose when he rebukes you. A race is a context. You are competing. A context is a competition. And when you are contesting against something or for something, it means that you have something that is against you. There is something that you are trying to fight to win. A contest will never be a contest if there is no an opposition. What makes a context is because you are opposed by something. What makes a contest is because you are in a race with other people targeting at one prize. What makes a contest is because only one gets the prize. Even though there are so many people that may be involved in the context, but because there is only one single prize that is set ahead, anyone that will not get that prize, as long as that contest is concerned, he is not the winner. Forget it at time, we comfort ourselves by calling number one, number two, number three. But there are all one some context in life that you know that you are in a race that only you need to win. Can I pray for somebody? Any contest you are passing through, the Lord gave you grace to win. The Lord gave you grace to win. So context, your race is a context. There are so many contexts in, I mean race in life. A race to destiny. A race to purpose. A race to your joy. A race to your promised land. And above all, there is another race called the race of eternity. Very important. A race of your marriage is a race. A race into purpose is a race. I have ordained you to become a prophet to a nation. It was a race. Since the day you have been born, you have been ordained to start the deliverance of Israel from the hands of Egypt. In Philippians, it's a race. So your race can be defined in the purpose of your life. Any man that is living like a flag on a plug without a direction that can be blown by any wind. You know, when you see a flag on a pole, can be blown to any direction. When the wind is going this way, that flag may be flowing that side. When the wind is going this way, that flag will be blowing that side. And at times, you'll see it shaking. Can I pray for somebody? Any life that is shaking, receive direction this morning. Say, receive direction this morning. God called Moses, you are to lead the people of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. Joshua took over. You are to lead the people to cross over Jordan and to define, to describe unto them, unto their inheritance. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 4, I think 24, the Bible says that the men, the half tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Jordan, Reuben, they cross over Jordan armed. They cross over Jordan, prepare for battle. Now let me tell you something. There are some breakthroughs God can give to you. But if you need another battle to maintain them. When God gives a breakthrough, give you a miracle, give you a joy, give you the view of eternity, You needed another battle to maintain that eternal race. So we are talking about running the race, the race that is set up for you. And one of the race is the race of eternity. Tell somebody by your side, prepare for eternity. Forget it that we have other plans on earth. We have other plans to do. We have destiny to pursue. We have career to pursue. There are other things we are planning to do. As good as those things are, as great as those things are, one of the things that I want to bring into our mind, that we must not forget one paramount thing in life, one destiny in life, one race that we are into, and one of the greatest race that everyone must pursue is the race of eternity. And as I'm speaking to you now, nobody on earth, no matter who you are, no matter the kind of your qualification, no matter the word you carry, everyone one day must answer that call. Everyone one day will answer that call. The call to answer to eternity. The call to appear before your eternity. And that is as we pursue our life. And as we live in this world, that is why this message is coming. We should not be careless as if there is no another life. I did mention in the first service that every announcement of a birthday is also an announcement of your closeness to your eternity. Every time you rise up and you say, today is my birthday, this day is my birthday, as you are saying that, there is another world coming closer. Whether you hear it from your mind or not, you are almost approaching there. It's a step forward to your eternal home. That is why we must live with wisdom as we run the race of eternity. So what are the principles of eternity? Number one, you must know that you are surrounded with witness. Understanding the witnesses around you. Can I tell you, brethren, there were some brethren that have run the race of heaven and they met it. There are brethren that have run the race of eternity and today they have met it. We are not the first runner and we shall not be the last. There are other brethren who were one time in the same war, who were in one time under the same kind of a government, the government that is wicked and corrupt. Yet, in their race to heaven, they never compromise. There are other brethren who are on the race of heaven, they deny themselves of some certain privileges because they know where they were going. And because of that, they are focused on heaven and the Bible calls them witnesses. So today, they have run the race and won. And very soon now, we shall soon go to meet them. How? Because they were able to run this kind of race. And then they won. Lift up your hand, I pray for you. You will win the race. Say you will win the race. You will win the race. In the name of Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 11 gave us the list of some brethren who have run the race of faith. They ran the race of eternity. Some of them went through fire. Some of them denied themselves. Some of them by faith they conquered city. Some of them they were sown in two. Some of them were king. Some of them they did so many miracles because of the faith and they were able to win. Today, they have become a witness, whether for us or against us. At times when we fall, it appears as if we are the only one falling into that same kind of a sin. But you never know that there are brethren also who have passed through the same kind of a struggle and they were able to win. You must win your race in the name of Jesus. Let me hear you say a better amen. So we are going wanted to see how Abraham gave us some certain principles concerning living with eternity, running the race of eternity in view of heaven. He was able to give us some certain tactics that if we place our eyes in the scripture and we behold Abraham, we will see how this man ran the race, and he warns. Remember very well that Abraham presently, despite the polygamy in his life, he was able to win. Remember Lazarus? When the rich man raised his eyes in hell and saw Lazarus, where was he? He was in the arms of who now? Abraham. So the man won. What are the principles? Hebrews chapter 11 now. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. And we are going to see from verse 8. Principle number 1, given by Abraham. By faith, when God called to go to a place, he will later receive as his inheritance. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Number 1 principle, if you must live for eternity, there must be a place you must live. There must be a place you must live. There must be a life you must forsake. There must be a bye-bye to something. There must be a deliberate attempt to forsake something. Nobody ever becomes something in the hands of God without leaving something. Some of us, there must be something you are going to leave in order to pursue the race of heaven. For Abraham, one of the things he deliberately did was that when God said to him, leave your father, leave your mother, leave your father's house and go into a place I will later give you as an inheritance. The man obeyed. So you see, in running the race of eternity, there is a life in you. There is something you must forget. There is something you must drop. You can't enter this heaven with so many package of luggages, so many package of a lifestyle of your own, so many kayaks you have carried. You can't go like that. The road is so tight and narrow. So tight. If it were to be a gate, you know that only it is only your life that is permitted to pass through that gate. So it means that if you are going to make heaven, something you must leave. See, life of sin must be forgotten. Darkness must go. Sinful behavior must go. Every negative life must go. In fact, where we have read, the Bible says, lay aside every sin and weight that easily entangle. Do you remember? Can you see how? Why will God say sin and weight? Why will God say sin? I think that sin should be enough. Because sin is one of the greatest things that can hinder one from going to heaven. But the Bible contains, say it again, that lay aside every sin and lay aside every weight. There are two different things there. Apart from sin, it means that there is another thing called weight that is able to weigh a man down, never to make heaven. And let me tell you about weights. Sin is a sin. Fornication, adultery, lies, corruption, whatever it is that hinder a man, defiled thoughts, defiled imagination, every kind of a wrong is sin. The Bible describes it. But what about weights? To carry a weight is not actually bad. Is it wrong that you carry a heavy load on your head? You are only going to be depressed. But what is weight? Weight can be anything, whether good or bad, that can hinder you from running. It may not be necessarily be sinful, but anything that you are running with. See, there are some of us, we carry some things that we never need. You carry something, they appear to be good, it appears to be spiritual, but actually in the agenda of God, pertaining your running, pertaining your destiny, you never need them. When you carry such a thing, even when it does not appear sinful, those things can hinder. And such things, the Bible calls them weight. They may not be looking as sinful. They may not be seen as wrong. But because they are taking part of your life. They are taking part of your life. They are taking your devotion to God. Can I tell you, a man called the rich man wanted to follow Jesus. He came and said, what must I do to enter heaven? The man said, have you not read from the commandment? I have done all these things right from when I was a young man. Jesus said to him, go, sell your possession, give it to the poor, then come and follow me. You have treasure where now? Treasure in heaven. And the man left sorrowfully. Can I ask you, is it bad to be wealthy? The answer is no. The wealth of this man has become a problem to him in the running of eternity. I believe he was not the only rich man that was following Jesus. Joseph the Arimathea was a wealthy man. The one that helped the body of Christ from the cross. But Jesus never spoke to him and said, go and sell. Go and sell and give it to the poor. Go and give it to the poor. No, for this man, if you must enter heaven, your wealth is a problem to you. Let me exaggerate. Let me make an expansion. Do you know when a man is wealthy, there may be poor people around him. Am I right? There may be poor people. Can I pray for somebody? Anyone that wants to make you a beggar, break out of that in the name of Jesus. I say, anyone that wants to make you a beggar, break out of that in the name of Jesus. There are some boss in your place of offices that may want you to be worshiping them. There are some people in your community that may want you to be worshiping them. And if you are here, a wealthy man, don't be like this rich man. Because his wealth was a problem to his journey to eternity. And when God looked at his mind, the Lord looked at his mind and discovered that if you must make this heaven, you must go and sell. Give it to the poor. Now look at it. Probably there were some poor people coming around and requesting for food to eat. And you know when you are rich, there is a way that your wealth can give you a name in the community. Wealthy people, even when they commit wrong, they can easily be covered. So this man, the Lord looked at him, go and sell. Do you know what the implication? When you give the money to the poor people will become better than you. When the rich man will carry that same money and go and share it to the poor people maybe that we are worshiping him, they will become better than him. He will be in their own shoe. He will know their pains. And the Bible says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Follow who? Jesus. Where is the house of Jesus? Where was Jesus living? The man said, I have no place to lay my head. And look at me. In fact, you remember the story of Jesus? They call him the son of the carpenter. Where was Jesus living? And this same Jesus will say to me, come and follow me. And then you are going to have treasure in heaven. It's a mistake, maybe. The man decided, let me go. And that was all through the scripture. You will never see a place where his name was mentioned again. I pray for us. May we never close our agenda. May our agenda before the Lord never be closed. So this man left. And he could not finish the race of eternity. Before Abraham, he left a place. He left his father's house. And he go to a place. He went to a place where he will later receive. Number two, before I pray, no time. By faith, what is another principle of eternity run, eternity race? The Bible says he made his home in the promised land like a stranger. You have to live your life here on earth like a stranger. Don't invest so much on earth. Don't live so much on earth. Don't behave so much on earth. The Bible says Abraham lived in the promised land. It is the land that was promised by God. God gave him that land. But he decided to have a plan. What was the plan? He was living in the same land like a stranger. He lived in the tents, mobile house. He was wealthy. He was rich. He was a wealthy man. But he couldn't build a house. He was living in the tent. Because he knows that this place I am living is a temporary place. He made his home like in the tent. The Bible says, for he was looking for a city whose builder and architect is God. That is what is called a looking. There is an inner eye that Abraham was so wise. Wisdom of Abraham is that even when I live on earth, there is another eye I am seeing. I am seeing a beautiful house. I am seeing a beautiful home where the architect and the builder
of that same house is God's. Even though on earth, but he has another view. Consciousness of eternity. It's a race. Why are you identifying with the world? Can I ask you? Why? Why is your life not separated from the world? See, those that live by the world will die by the world. In the same world, your life ends here. And you are going to rise to another eternity. But let me tell you, Abraham was so wise. He was so wise. Though on earth, he has an heavenly view. You must not be careless with your life. Because one day, we shall all wake up to reality. Don't make a home on earth. If you don't hear anything, hear this one. Don't make a home in heaven. Because here on earth, is not a home. No matter what you build, there are crises. I don't know whether you know now, even when you are wealthy, kidnappers are around. Even with your money, no more joy. We shall all arrive heaven in the name of Jesus. And when we arrive, we shall not be disappointed. So live your life with heaven mindset. Set your mind on the things of heaven where Christ is dwelling. That was the wisdom of Abraham. He was able to foresee the beautiful city whose architect and builder is God. So he pursued it. And at the end, he was able to make it. As we are seated down here, may we all be one day be seated in the presence of God. Say, may we be one day be seated in God's presence. When he will open the books of life, may our name be found there. We will not be disappointed. We will not be rejected. Our name must be there. And that will be by your works. Rise. Let's pray. Raise your hand. Pray to God and say, Lord, show me mercy. I don't want to miss my eternal home. It is a race of eternity. I don't want to miss it, oh God. I don't want to make this place my home. Let me live with a view of heaven. Let nothing hinder me. Father, in this competition of race, oh God, Father, please help me make it. Everything I need to drop, I am dropping them tonight. I am dropping them this day. Help me, oh God. Help me to have the wisdom of Abraham. Help me to live like Abraham. Though on earth, he has heaven consciousness in his mind. Father, bless us today and let your name be glorified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we ask of you, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to finish our race. We shall all make it into heaven. In the name of Jesus. Anything you are demanding of us to drop, the grace to drop them even on this altar today, release unto our brethren, ourselves in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. On the last day, we will not be disappointed. Glory and honor be unto your name. In Jesus' most powerful name we pray.